Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Alsat from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Sounded like the beginning of a Chevy van, but I know he's not playing 1970 stuff.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Apex here as we get ready for a UFC fight night. Saturday, we did Dana White Contender Series on Tuesday. We did the slap last night. Matt's still building another car back there. Sitting down with us again, foremost. Welcome back. It's been 3 minutes since we last spoke. All right, so we're going to talk about your fight, but we talked a little bit off air, and then I'm like, no, I want to save some stuff for last night's slap. I know that you followed it, you know, on Twitter. Have you seen any of it yet?
I've not personally sat down and watched anything. Like I said, just, you know, behind, like, just scrolling Instagram or scrolling Twitter, and you just see dudes get flatlined.
First and foremost, you need to go to one.
Okay.
You absolutely do.
All right.
Because I think you'll think differently, and I was telling you off the air, you know, I blasted Matt and blah, 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 blah. This is not in a negative. I like it.
Okay.
I'm not saying I would ever do it.
Yeah.
And I think these guys are missing some things upstairs.
Yeah.
But I think you're missing some things upstairs too,
you do. I'm not one to judge. Right. I'm just not going to do it.
So the first, and I don't even know if you call it a fight because, you know, it's a slap or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a TKO after one slap.
Okay.
Now, I could make this suspenseful, but which guy do you think got TKO'd?
The first guy. The guy who lost the because they do a coin toss, right?
So right.
The first guy who lost the coin toss.
Well, the guy who won the toss slapped first.
Yeah. So
and
he
got TKO.
Oh, all right. My understanding was that if, like, there's so much riding on that coin toss, because I feel like if you get the first slap, there's 100% chance you win. Well, clearly not 100%,
right.
But your odds are truly in your favor.
Very good. What happened to this guy is originally he said he broke his hand.
Okay.
And so he slapped the guy, and the guy basically laughed at him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden his hand hurt, and he got TKO'd because he said his hand was broken and he couldn't continue.
Okay. You can't, like, switch hands?
Well,
I think you can.
You can.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a dubious thing because they took him to the hospital and he said, I broke my hand, and then they found out there was nothing wrong with his hand, and Dana ragged on him a bit at the press conference.
See, this is the type of individual that you're dealing with when you're dealing with this type of thing.
But listen, here, hypothetically, you know, you're still fighting now at the very highest level, and we'll get to that in a second. But hypothetically, let's say however many years you want to fight for.
Just say no right now.
If you're going to ask me if I'm going to do slap,
listen,
I'm not doing slap.
Hear me out. All of a sudden, and I'll tell you the reason I'm asking this. Dana came up to us at the Power Slap 3, and obviously with Randy being the kind of OG of MMA kind of journalism.
Me, old guy.
He said, you know, and he said, what do you think? And he said, I'm enjoying it. And he said, it's just hard just building the thing up. He said, but this takes me back 25 years when people thought, you know, the UFC was barbaric and there was no skill involved and it was all this kind of stuff. And obviously now being this huge multi-billion dollar company, he said the Power Slap thing has got the ability to do that. So let's just say, for argument's sake, let's say 5 years time, you've laid your gloves down and you say no, but they say, listen, I'm going to give you $1 million to come in, but you have to fight for the season in the slap. Now, obviously, being a fighter, someone that has given and received punishment over your career, you can obviously take a punch. There's no doubt about that. Would you do it for that kind of money?
$1 million.
$1 million.
What else do I have going on in my life? That's what's gonna. Am I
$1 million?
You just spent $2,000 on a steak.
Okay,
that's so what you have going on.
So no, if I'm spending $2,000 on the steak, I don't need $1 million. I'm not getting slapped in the face by some random dude. No, I'm not doing it.
But not for $1 million.
No, not for $1 million. No.
Wow. No. But since you can get into the Apex to watch Slap basically for free, you know, from your boss, I strongly suggest you do it.
I will do that. I will definitely do that.
You know, last night's card was fun.
It was amazing.
Interesting thing is you can foul, you know, by cupping or moving and stuff like that, you know, which, well, you know, you can't flinch. You know, I get that.
Yeah.
I think that's, to me, than more than getting slapped.
Yeah.
Is how do you not flinch? To me, I'm flinching.
Just eat it. You just got to eat it. Rock. There's really nothing you can do.
Exactly. Before we get to the
Chris is like, please move on.
Before we get to the real, there's something that's come up this week and we've asked a few people and it kind of is interesting to get a real fighter's take on it. the sort of the Jake Paul, Nate Diaz thing. Do you look at someone like Jake Paul, do you think he's being disrespectful because you've trained all your life to be good at what you do and he comes in with 2 or 3 years and he's making all this money? Or do you think, hey, listen, good luck to him. He's getting his money. How do you kind of approach it just from a fighter's point of view? Do you watch it and go, I hate this dude? Or you kind of go, I don't care. Or, and would you fight him?
I'd fight him. Absolutely, I'd fight him. Yeah.
For $1 million? For
Well, no, it's not $1 million.
Slap me for $1 million.
$10 million. It's over $10 million to fight Jake.
Over $10 million. Now, listen, he's doing his own thing. He already had a platform. He is apparently going full in from his training camps, everything that you see putting out there, the work that he's putting in. You know, could I argue that the quality of his opponents could be a little bit better? Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's probably his only thing, you know, like, if you're going to be a pro boxer, like, do it like every other pro boxer does. Go down through the ranks, mm-hmm. go up, build your name that way, not like handpick people who are retired or older people or stuff like that.
Wrestlers.
And that's coming from a young professional athlete.
Yeah.
Me being me, I'm going to pick the easiest guy.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, and that's like protecting
myself out there.
And that's protecting himself and protecting his brand. He's taking the fights in which he thinks that he can win. And, you know,
so your perspective is if he or others like him dedicate themselves to putting themselves into the gym and going through their training and, you know, trying to learn their craft to whatever level,
yeah.
you've kind of got no problem with it because
I got no problem
respecting
with it, no.
the fights.
Correct.
The game, if you know what I mean.
Correct. Yeah. If you're legit putting in the work in the gym, if you're like hiring trainers because you have all this money and you're in there doing rounds of sparring and multiple days and you're doing a real training camp and you spent, you know, the past 2 years where that's literally, you've done nothing but that, you got my respect. I'm not gonna shit on you or anything like that. But
he know. Said ship. He yeah. said ship. Did, yeah, he saw the ship of the USS Barry. You know.
Absolutely.
I guarantee both Paul brothers have spent $2,000 on a steak.
Yeah. Well, they're probably better men than I have.
Let's talk about. We briefly mentioned it. You know, before the top of the hour, and when we were guessing on the weight decision. You know, why were you at 205?
Because Derek Lewis is really big, and Curtis Blades is really big, and Rosenstreich's really big. Those guys are really big. I was just a fat, light heavyweight, or some would say I could even make 85. I'm not trying to make 85. That's my brother's division. I don't want any parts of that extreme dieting and weight cutting.
Yeah.
It was really just seeing a real UFC-level heavyweight for, like, the first time.
So I'm going to back up a little before I say that. Basically, like, how long did it take to realize Derek Lewis was that big?
Well, I thought he was just a bigger guy. I fought, like, guys who weighed in at 265 right. before. And then standing across the cage from him, I'm like, that's not – he's, like, 300 pounds right now. And he was every bit of 300 pounds, if not more. Like, yeah. a couple of days ago or last week when he fought, whatever card it was,
right.
he was saying he passed out when he was cutting weight to make 265. Like, that's crazy. Like, you're cutting 25 pounds, 30 pounds to make 265, and I'm, you know, little old me walking around 235, 245, whatever it is, just eating whatever I want. And, you know,
lack of discipline. I don't know what would disturb me more, getting punched by Derek Lewis or having to be that close to him in his underwear.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's great. It didn't hurt, so it's all right. It was fun.
Talk about Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm really excited. The drop down to 205 is something, obviously, I should have did a little bit sooner. If I'm being serious and honest, it probably should have been before the Derek Lewis fight, but after the Shamil fight, I was riding high. They literally called me like right after the fight. They were like, yo, we can give you Derek Lewis and you'll be main eventing. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And I was at the highest of highs at that point. You could have told me anyone's name and I would have said yes. Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, what it was, but I'm really excited for Saturday. It's going to go absolutely insane in that cage. I can't wait. He's a guy who comes forward all the time. I'm a guy that obviously comes forward all the time. So it's going to be a big clash for however long it lasts, and we'll see.
Does this really feel like a kind of new start
yeah.
to your career?
Yeah, absolutely.
Dropping that amount of weight.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, it must feel like, right, okay, we're going to start again now.
It's a brand new start. Yeah, like I literally changed everything in not even in training-wise and preparation-wise, but also, like, my lifestyle changes for everything like that. So it's been great. My wife loves it. Couldn't be happier.
What are the changes, like, training-wise? Obviously, you know, you can't eat anything and everything, but other than that?
Just changing different things with the strength and conditioning program. I'm really excited about doing all that. not really big on like running, so I've gotten away from that. But as far as like doing other stuff, as far as like interval training, the assault bike and stuff like that, I've kind of been like living on that stuff. So it's been really good. I'm happy with how camp is going. And come Saturday night, when I get my hand raised and whoever's in there interviewing me, I know for a fact that I can say without a doubt, I've done absolutely everything right to make sure I get this one.
But the things that are done in the gym per se is still the same thing. So nothing's changing because the weight is a little bit less. So.
No, I can just go harder and faster. That's all. Like instead of, you know, me doing 6 rounds or 7 rounds, I'm doing 10, 12 rounds. So I got no problem with it.
Well, that's the bad thing. Now you got to do more rounds.
I know. And that's I'm like, and it takes me 2 to 3 rounds to get warmed up. And I'm like normally I walk into the gym, I'm already warmed up. I'm normally sweating all over the place, but you know, it takes me 2 to 3 rounds to get warmed up.
Is it hard for someone that's fought many times as you have in big arenas and all that kind of stuff to come to the Apex? Because there's a lot of fighters kind of like, they like the solitude of it. And then some people like the big show.
I like both. There's a, you know, different flavors for everybody, but I like both experiences. I like the crowd, the energy of a big arena, going to a new place, interacting with all the fans, everything like that. But then being here and having that intimacy and hearing your coaches, hearing his coaches, hearing his exertion, that, you know, his breath while you're clinched up, or like when you're close, you're fighting, like that's something that I enjoy.
Are you very aware, especially on the fight nights, especially here at the Apex and the smaller arenas, when you can hear his coaches?
Yeah.
Do you have the mental capacity to hear what they're saying and try and adapt? Because some people kind of are in the zone and they don't hear anything, and then they may be just tuned to hearing their own coaches, or, you know, some coaches can be repetitive about certain things that you've worked on. But I've always kind of wondered whether it's something that you can hear what they're going to say and go, okay, he's going to set that right hand up. Okay, I'm going to do
that. That's exactly how I stopped Olenek.
Right.
So I heard his corner calling for Uno. He was speaking Spanish to his corner. Right. It was kind of weird. Alexei speaks Russian. He doesn't speak really any English, but his corner speaking Spanish to him.
Right.
So he was calling for the single jab.
Right.
And I knew it was coming, so I was just waiting. And he threw it, slipped, and I caught him with the right hand.
Right. Okay.
And then that's what started the whole downfall of me winning the fight. So I'm totally fine with it, because I'll take all that into consideration.
That's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. I like the Apex, you know, from a spoiled, you know, I like watching it on TV when you're at the Apex.
Yeah.
Because you can hear it as well.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that. And kind of like what I mentioned about the slap, you can hear it.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear that stuff, you know, a little bit as well. Chris, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Of course.
And you'll know details about the next slap. What's the next one? Six? Three, four, five.
Five.
You'll know it before me, but let's get you to it. Get
all right,
you and your brother to it, and we'll make you a bigger fan.
We'll have a great night.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Let's go hit a quick break as we continue coming to you live from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Snap Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Trent Dilfer, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Toby Hoff, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we're back up to you live from the UFC Apex Centers. We get ready for another Saturday, which means another UFC. This has been a great week because three events.
Yeah, it's been great.
You know, Dana White Contender Series on Tuesday, last night's Slap, which was awesome. And then this weekend's Jamie Pickett sitting down. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Not too bad. Let's get the most important thing out of the way early. Happy early birthday.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that. I did not know you were going to know that.
If that's the best, then good. We're done. Mic drop.
You're the first one. All right.
You know, it's important that, you know, there's always say hi and hello and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, your birthday's in what, a little over 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Anything special after the victory on Saturday? Anything special you're going
to
do?
I'm having a cake made for myself. I'm having a Dragon Ball Z cake made for myself. I've always wanted one. No one ever got me one, so I'm getting myself one.
Can I ask what that is? What's a Dragon Ball?
It's anime.
Okay.
I'm big into anime.
Okay.
So, One Punch Man.
Oh, right. Okay, got you. I have no idea. I thought that was like an American sponge or something.
Okay. I've been known to make phone calls.
Okay.
So, before you order your cake, give me, I'll be home this week. Give me till like Wednesday.
Okay.
And let's see what can be pulled out of the Knockout Radio mystery.
Okay.
Never know what a good phone call does.
All right. Yeah. I'll wait.
You may have to tell me like flavors and you know right. how you want the cake made and
okay.
You know, I'm a big Publix cake guy. I don't know if you've had
Publix is good. It is good.
Yeah. Let's talk about Saturday night at the Apex. You know, we always ask the fighters. Yes, you love the big arenas and the crowd and the you know. What's your thought on the Apex? Because I personally love watching it on TV when the fights at the Apex and experiencing it. It's different, but I like it.
I like the Apex too. I don't really, it doesn't really matter. Both my wins I had in the UFC is at the Apex. So
right.
I'd rather fight there.
Yeah, then it matters.
Yeah.
Dana, Sean, from now on, Jamie will fight at the Apex.
Yeah, I'm not getting paid any more or less. So yeah.
We just had Chris Dorcas on and we were just asking him about the opponent's coaches when you get there. Do you hear them? You know, when you're in the fight, do you allow yourself to listen to what your coaches are telling you?
Yes.
But also have the ability to go. Because Chris just talked about when he finished Alexei Oleinik, he says they called it like a left jab, and he says and I slipped it. He says and I caught him, and that was the end of the fight. And the only reason I knew that was coming was because I heard the corner.
Yes.
Are you in the zone where you don't hear anything, or when you fight traditionally, are you listening to everything and trying to take it all?
Yeah, I'm listening to everything.
You know, compute it all. You know,
I'm listening to everything.
Okay.
But it's very hard to react that fast. I don't know. I mean, that's kudos to him that he did, but a lot of times. When we hear our coaches say something, we usually do it right then because we know that voice. We train with it every day.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So how can you hear that? You know that voice. You might not know the coach's voice, but you can see his mouth moving. You know, so you're that. And then somebody who, you know, you always have those people and you don't really know. do they know what they're talking about? Or are they from your camp as well? Because, you know, right. There's a lot of people that sit close and, you know, that's my, do it. You know, so how do
I've won fights off people in the crowd one time.
Really?
Yeah, before I UFC, I've heard them say things. And it was like, straight right is there. And I was like, I threw a bow. I was like, oh, he's there. Appreciate it.
did he become a coach? Did you now become friends with the guy who helped you?
Oh, you know who he was. He was just in the crowd. Yeah, I think he was drunk too. So
we were obviously this is the thing. We were here for the Contender Series. We were here for Power Slap. And funny enough, we were chatting with Dana about the Power Slap and the, you know, this whole thing that's going on right now. And we were just talking with Chris about the Power Slap and the kind of person that goes into something like that sport. And Dana had said something very similar about MMA. We said, like, the people that go into Power Slap, they must be not right in the head. And he said, listen, he said, I deal with thousands of professional killers. He says, whether they've got great personalities, no personality, whether they're brash, whether they're quiet. He said, to step into an octagon, he said, there's got to be something in the head that makes you different to every other job, you know, person, the job. What made you want to do this and make this a career for yourself? What was the, was there a catalyst to going, this is what I'm going to do with my life?
You know, to me, it was just like a way out, like a way to better myself financially and, you know, be financially stable and get my credit back right. You know, I had a few hiccups in life, and the UFC was.
You never called that 800 number that you see the commercials for all the time. We'll help your credit.
It's easier getting into an octagon than it is getting through to those people. Yeah.
And fighting is nothing I've ever, like, even as a child growing up, you know, my dad right there, he'll tell you, I've been in plenty of fights. I've never been scared to fight anybody.
Yeah.
Fighting somebody to me is just like as natural as drinking water. Like, it doesn't make me go, oh, should I fight this guy? Oh, what is he going to do to me? I don't ever think about that. Sure. And I'm thinking, like, if I lose, I lose. But if I win, I win. But it's never been that. It's always been the excitement of it. I get real excited. Like, my hair raises up. Yeah. I like that feeling. Yeah. Same as whenever I jump out of planes or ride bulls.
Yeah.
I get that same feeling. So that's why I do these things.
Well, isn't jumping out of a plane or riding a bull easier?
Well, no. No. To be honest with you, the bull is the scariest thing because he got a mind of his own.
Right.
You know, what he might do.
Do you ever allow yourself to think about what you'd be doing or what kind of occupation you'd have if you didn't have that kind of fighter's instinct? Or does it frighten you? Because it frightens a lot of fighters because they go, I don't know how to do anything to this level.
Right.
Anything else. You
exactly.
Know?
I'm with them on that. It's weird, man, to even think about that.
Yeah, it does tend to scare a lot of fighters.
It kind of makes me nervous thinking about it, like, happening right now. What are you doing?
No, totally, you brought him down. He was happy when he walked in.
What are you doing, man?
I'm going to have to get on to the $2,000 stake thing in a moment. So
we'll get to it.
So listen, there's been something that's happened this week, and I have a friend of mine that was over on business over in Dubai and went to one of these Salt Bay restaurants and stuff, and he paid $2,000 for a steak. Let's say money's not even a question. Would you pay $2,000 for a steak?
No, I have cattle in my front yard.
There you go.
I have cows in my yard, so I mean, no, if I want a steak, I'll just go out there and slaughter them myself like a barbarian and take them on horseback over to the house and skin them alive.
That's what a man does.
I can't see anybody. My brother has more money than I've ever seen and spends money stupidly, but he can afford it. It is what it is, but I just couldn't do it.
Man, if you got the money to do it, me, even if I had the money to do it, I seriously don't see myself doing that. For one, it's just not, I didn't grow up that way.
Right. Me either.
It's just like, I'm like Floyd Mayweather. Shoot, take me to McDonald's somewhere, man. I can give me a burger if I'm that hungry.
Yeah, I'm that dude.
Well, me too.
$2,000.
Yeah, that was being serious.
I don't know if I'd spend $2,000 on anything. I mentioned to Chris, I've been fortunate. I'm going to jinx it now. I've been to 30-some Super Bowls. Oh, wow. So I don't need to buy the ticket. Originally, I think they were $8. Then the one ticket I was given was $400. Now it's up to almost $1,000. But you can't buy them.
One ticket,
$1,000. I'd buy a TV and watch it at home. But then they're sold in the aftermarket for thousands, tens of thousands. I just... Now, granted, it's easy to say that because I don't have that kind of money to say, no, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you have X, I just couldn't see spending that kind of money for anything.
Funny enough, do you follow other sports? Are you a big sport guy? Or are you strictly into the fight game?
You're not gonna believe this, but I don't really watch fights like that. Yep, I would if I'm gonna watch something, it's gonna be I like to watch dog shows. I like to watch bull riding. I like to watch, you know, extreme sports like supercross, motocross. Like I'm
got you okay. Like the Red Bull series.
So then maybe
yeah, the Red Bull stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you can help me then because I've always struggled when that dog won America's Got Talent. Now you being a dog, I'm sure you've watched the Westminster and all that stuff. Explain that to me.
I don't know.
Is that how bad the country is that the dog was the most talented of that season?
It had to be because, I mean, he's never won before.
Do you have pets? I know you have cows, but I mean pets.
Yes.
You may have the cow in the house, so it may be.
Oh, my dog is basically a cow. My dog, Khan, he's my best friend. I love him to death. I tell my family, my friend, my dad's heard it several times. I tell anybody, like, if you hurt my dog, I promise you, you will not see tomorrow. I love my dog, like, with a passion.
Yeah.
And he's my best friend. He's at home. And that's my buddy. He's his birthday was 2 days ago.
What breed?
Tell him a belated birthday.
Yep.
What breed is he?
It's Cane Corso. Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to the fight in a second. I know that we can't keep you too long. These commercials come on and they're all sad. I mean, it's about the children. It's about, the other countries. And, my wife would just, we're busy. We don't see it. But if that dog one comes on, chained up,
right.
Change that thing now.
Right.
Or she'll throw the thing
out. It's sad.
Yeah.
Someone that got with it. People tell me about some person that got ran over or killed or whatever. And I'm like, what do you do? I'm never like on the victim's side. I'm like, what do you do? But if you do something with a dog, I don't care what happened.
Yeah.
You are a piece of crap.
Yeah.
I don't like you. And matter of fact, get out of my yard.
I love it.
I'm with you. Let's talk about Saturday night. Your thoughts on your opponent.
He was a very cool person. I talked to him yesterday. Very tall. We're going to have a good time, me and him. I am. I put on the guitar. He's a cool guy. After the fight, I'll buy him a beer if he wants one. We can have some food together. I don't care.
Can I ask? We've got the Ultimate Fighter on. We've had both. We had Jason Knight. We had Kurt Hollabar on, and they. I don't know if you've been following enough. Obviously, if you're not a big fan of watching the sport, you probably haven't seen the recent episode. They had the most unbelievable. Like battle these two, but they before they fought at the weigh-in they prayed together. They then agreed to stand and fight, not go to the ground,
which we see all the time.
But they stuck to it.
Opponents don't listen.
Right. But they agreed. And the amount of kind of love and respect and honor that these two guys had for each other before and after, and even in the ring, and obviously, and this was just a complete and utter battle. Do you find it easier to kind of dislike the person you're fighting, or don't you care? Some people need that little fire, in the belly to go, I really don't like this person, and I'm going to show you how much I don't like them. Or, and as you said there, you just kind of met up, and you go, listen, afterwards I'll buy you a beer. There's no problem with that. It's just business.
Yeah, I'm cool with everybody, man. I just understand you have family, just like I have family. You want to provide and make a way for people behind you the same way I want to do. Like, my biggest thing is, like, my family. I mean, when I say my family, I mean, like, my whole family.
Sure.
So, in my mind, how I look at it is, all the kids coming up under me, like, they would better say, my uncle, my cousin, my brother, like, he's Jane Pickett. He did this. He did that.
Yeah.
I can do it. I like that. I like the motivation.
Yeah.
And if I see somebody do good, like, the guy that beat me, he's fighting his card. If he wins, I'm not bad. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Whoever wins, I genuinely like to see people do good. So, I don't want you to beat me, and I'm going to do my best to beat you, but I understand you have to make your legacy and have pass down your legacy to your family, your children, and you have to provide for your kids. So your job is to take my head off. So if you take your head off, I don't like it, but at the same time, I understand. Kudos to you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have the same thing on my end, and my job is to get you out as quickly as possible.
Not that you need motivation, and we'll end it on this. When you get in the octagon on Saturday, just think your dog needs to eat the next day.
Right.
That's all you need to think.
He needs kibble. he's 145 pounds. He needs lots of kibble.
Fighters always say, you're taking food off my family. No, We love our family. You're taking food out of the dog.
Car needs it.
Jamie, thank you very much for your time. That was awesome. We have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong, as well as some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Enjoy it. Have fun on Saturday.
Yes, sir. You too.
Let's hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Roger Lodge, the host of Blind Date, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Apex here, UFC Fight Night on Saturday. It's been a great week. Tuesday, Dana White Contender Series. Last night, Slap 4.
Slap 4.
You got to remember that.
We're veterans of Slap 3.
Yeah,
remember that.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, Fight Night on Saturday. Let's welcome to the program Hakeem Dawoodu. Was I close?
Dawoodu.
Okay, no, now that I know Dawoodu, I'll get it right until I mess it up the next time.
He's not great with names.
I'm not.
I'm just going to let you know.
I left the co-host that always does the names, and he butchers them instead of me, so I don't get beat up, and he does.
It's all good. I'm not the best with names either, so I get it.
First, how are you doing? How's everything?
You know, doing great, man. Feeling great, loving the energy, you know, so I'm just enjoying this time, feeling confident, and just, you know, taking the moment as it is.
You mentioned, you know, the environment. It's the Apex. I know you fought here before. We've asked every fighter the difference. Is there a difference? I personally like the Apex. You know, you can hear everything. You can, the whole thing to me as a fan and as media is cool here. But I know that it's good to be in a big arena, 70,000. What's the difference, and do you care?
You know, it's like, yeah, you know, pay-per-view is always good. But, you know, at the same time, I got a co-main event. This is my first time being co-main event. So, you know, I think this is probably one of my biggest fights for sure. But, you know, I've never been on co-main for UFC yet. So I think this is a great opportunity for me. So, you know, I think this is even better than pay-per-view sometimes, because I'm co-main. I'm right after me is the main event. So I'm really, you know, taking advantage of the situation.
Can you put more, not that you can ever put more pressure on, there's pressure to go out there, perform well, win the fight, but being a co-main event, you know, being a main event, does that make more pressure for you?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit more pressure, more eyes are on you. You know, you're getting that one step closer to becoming a main event. So definitely there's a bit more pressure on you, but I'm not going to let it affect my performance. But it's definitely given me some more drive and intuition to really perform the way I need to perform.
With you fighting someone, you know, a bona fide legend, do you approach the fight any different to any other fight? You know, like the way that you would necessarily train, the research that you would do, does it kind of bother you in the sense of, you know, that there is obviously, there's a well-known name there, or is it just a case of, listen, it's just another guy in my way on your journey? Does the fact that you're fighting someone that does have the career behind him that Cove does that bother you?
No, you know, I think, you know, he's got a big name. He's not the highest level guy I've ever fought. You know, I fought very high level guys before. I fought, you know, Masvidal before. I fought Zubara before. So I have fought big names before and very high level. I think, you know, he's got a great name. He's a legend to the sport. So it looks good on my resume, and it's good for my personal growth, for my following and my fan base, and just to get my name out there. So I think it's a great matchup.
Was that one of the first things that you thought of when you got the phone call? You know, it's Cub Swanson. Absolutely.
Exactly. That was exactly how it went. Cub Swanson. All right, perfect. Let's go.
What goes into when you get a phone call? You know, hey, are you ready? Is that the first thing they ask? And does it even matter who it is? If you're ready to fight, just give me a name.
You know, yes and no. Like, I feel like if you got a good relationship with your manager, he will actually kind of give you the fights that is in your best interest. So I'm with, you know, Tim Simpson with Chosen Few, and he gave me the call and said, I know you're going to like this matchup. And then he gave me the name, and I said, I do. And that's just kinda...
I like that, you know, without even saying it. Yeah, and of course, you do. What's the craziest, strangest thing that's ever happened, you know, in the middle of a fight? Typically, I say in the octagon, but it could be not in the octagon. But, you know, we've heard some really awesome, you know, things that come out.
You know, yeah, in the UFC, I haven't had too much, you know, crazy stuff happen. Everyone's pretty professional. But in my amateur days, I've had a few weird stuff happen where, you know, a few brawls start popping off, you know, during your fight. I had one fight where in my Muay Thai days, I threw a scissor teep and I kicked the guy right out of the ring, and he landed on his head on the concrete, and it visibly injured him and changed the fight. And, you know, he continued the fight, but I could tell that messed him up.
Sure.
You know, but other than that, not too much crazy stuff for me, on my end at least.
You seem so calm and collected and very measured, right? And how are you 30 minutes before a fight? Are you someone who likes to listen to music? Do you like to have a sleep? Do you like a lot of people around you? Do you not like anybody in the locker room with you? How do you approach that build up to stepping out there?
You know, I think I first on my before I get to, you know, the arena, I like to take a nice hot shower, listen to some music, get into the zone. And then on my way down to the arena, I'm watching fight clips, just watching fight clips, going over some stuff. And then as we get in the change room, I like to stretch, you know, get my stretch going on, get my hand wraps on. And I like to do a light little pre-fight sparring session with my training partner to emulate how the fight's going to go. And when we do some pads, and then after that, I just stay confident. I just, you know, keep saying the same words over and over in my head and making sure I'm going to stick to my game plan and implicate my game plan and do what I got to do.
Are you someone that needs cheerleaders? Do you know what I mean? You see so many fights, sometimes you see people that just want silence because you're inside your own head and you're dealing with it. And then there's other people that you just see just noise backing you up, reaffirming the message. Do you have a preference, or do you just like to be nice and almost very cold about how you go about it?
You know, I'm pretty cold the way I go about it, but I think there's nothing wrong with having people, you know, feeding you that good energy. Sure. You know what I mean? You watch a lot of the great boxers when they're hitting pads and they're hitting the bag. They got all these guys yelling at them saying they're the greatest, you know, they're the champ. So I think there is something to that. You know, it's good to be fed good energy all the time, but at the same time, if I didn't have that, it wouldn't bother me either or.
I'm assuming the music you listen to, they're not love ballads.
Nah, it's not at this time. But to be honest with you, when I'm not fighting, I'm a big fan of R&B. I really like R&B. You know, people be making fun of me sometimes because I be at the gym hitting pads, going all crazy. But I got some R&B in the background playing.
No, it's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah. What's going through your mind as you're walking? You know, you're doing your walkout. You know, I've talked to so many people. A friend of mine, former NFL player Marcus Jones, and he's walking. He's like, "What am I doing? Why am I doing this?" He wanted to do it, but that's the thought he had. What is the thought that you have as you're walking out there?
I'm just in my head, just saying, "I'm the greatest. I train too hard for this. I'm going to win this. I have to win this. I will win this. Too smart. I'm too strong. I'm too wise. This is my day," you know, and I just kind of just keep repeating that in my head.
Who do you like watching? Do you watch fights? And if so, who do you like watching?
Yeah, who do I like watching? You know, obviously, I like Floyd Mayweather. James Toney, I'm a big fan of. Obviously I like Sanchai, Yatsen Klai, you know, there's just so many. Israel Adesanya, of course, Leon Edwards, you know, Anderson Silva. There's just so many names. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Can you watch, and I always ask, I'm a licensed judge in Florida, so I watch fights differently. And I tell people as a judge, you know, to me, like, I hate, I'm not going to say names or anything, but like media people that are typing there in Radio Row, and they're typing, and then they look up, and then they type, and then they say who they thought won. If you don't watch the whole 5 minutes, you know, you can't say who won. You have to watch everything. So if I want to watch a fight as a fan, I'll purposely look away, because then I can't say who won the round, and I can just enjoy it. Can you watch a fight, you know, as a fan?
Oh, for sure. I love watching. You know, it's weird. When you don't have a fight coming up, watching fights is, to me, is one of the most fun activities to do. Go to a nice fight card, whether it's, you know, a big one or just a local show in your city. I love watching fights. I love being at the, you know, arena when you don't got a fight going on. You can have a beer, you can engage with, you know, the people in the fight world. So yeah, I love watching fights as a fan.
But as you're watching as a fan, are you still kind of working, trying to, you know, you could pick something up, or hey, that's something? Or as a fan, you're just chilled, you're not really paying that kind of attention, you're paying different.
Yeah, like if I see someone doing something that I like, I'm like, oh, okay, damn, I'm gonna pay note to that. I might steal that. And of course, like if I watch a full fight and the judges get it wrong, I'm always like, oh, what's up with that? You know what I mean? You know, I always pay attention to things like that. It can be really bad nowadays. I see a lot of people, and I you know, it's weird. The judging requirements is kind of weird. I don't really know what the full requirements are, but
neither do some of the judges. You know, and I'm not trying to be a smartass. Sure. It's, there's so many different criteria that it doesn't make sense. You know, I wished it was more definite. You know, and again, won't say names, but, and I don't know if you know this, I think this is awful. I know judges that are getting death threats, you know, from fans or whoever. And that's taking it a little too far. On the same line, a bad decision can cost that fighter money, mm-hmm. opportunity, moving on, being cut, all that stuff. So,
yeah, you know, it's a big deal. So that's why I feel like, you know, maybe a judge requirement should have a bit more have a bit more to get into it, just because, like, you, I see some of these judges, and I'm like, damn, you have no business being a judge. Like, do you even watch fighting? Do you even know anything about fighting? Especially, like, you know, in the city I'm from, I'm from Alberta, and some of these judges, I'm just, you know, scratching my head.
Yeah. Listen, so just kind of just going off that little topic, if you weren't about to prepare for the co-main event, here at the Apex, and be in this sport, is there any other kind of sport that you think, I'd love to have had a go at that? You know, I was really good at this, I was really good at that, outside of the realms of combat sport, because, you know, your resume in combat sport, that's, we all know what that's all about. Is there anything else that you think, if I wasn't a fighter, I think I'd have been a pretty good, you know, ball player, or, you know, whatever it may be?
Well, my dad was a 100-meter sprinter. He's from Jamaica, so no, he way. Came here for sprinting. So I was very big into 100-meter sprinting and 100-meter hurdle. And as well, I was big into soccer. I played center midfield for at least 8 years.
Lovely. So. Do you have a team? Because being a British guy, obviously, football, this is what he's talking about, right?
I understand. Believe me.
Do you have a team that you
follow? You know, as of right now, not really, but when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of Manchester, you know, Van Roosmalen, and that kind of old school type of
Manchester thing. United is what you're saying.
Yeah, that used to be my favorite back in the day.
You lost me. I'm the other side of the city, you see. I'm the blue side of the city.
So I'll tell you a real quick funny football/soccer story. So my co-host, one of my co-hosts that I told you played for Calgary, mm-hmm. Just retired. He played in the NFL for 7 or 8 years and then went up and started the season with Calgary. So he's from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. He moved from Nigeria.
He's from Nigeria and moved to Texas. Yeah. And he goes to his mom and he says, Mom, I want to meet some of the kids in the neighborhood. Sign me up for football. So she goes down and signs him up for football, and then she gets a phone call from the coach. All right, you know, we selected Caleb. He needs shin pads, shoulder pads, arm pads, helmet. She's like, what do you mean? I signed him up for football. They thought they were signing him up for soccer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he played soccer in Nigeria. And it's kind of a funny story, and that's why I asked some of these questions, because you would have never found that story out if I didn't ask whatever it was. But yeah, football, soccer, football.
Well, there you go. There's a definite, there's quite a lineage in Nigeria with the, we used to work for a charity with a very famous, you probably way too young to remember who Daniel Amakachi was, but he was a center forward for Nigeria, the great Nigerian team of 94, which was the last time the World Cup was here, and they called the Super Eagles, and they sort of invented the celebration. The Nigerian team had all these, they were the very first team to ever do like a synchronized celebration, and they took the world by storm. And Amakachi used to play in England, and he had this whole charity where he used to, he would build schools and all those kind of stuff. So we used to do a lot of work with him, and it was just, they were amazing. Listen, they know what they're doing.
It worked out well for Caleb, because at 360 pounds or whatever, he was an offensive lineman. I don't think he would have been playing much soccer, football.
He was a big boy, definitely.
For sure. What can the fans expect to see, you know, on Saturday, co-main event, your walk into the cage?
Fireworks, you know, finish, a lot of power, a lot of speed, a lot of different techniques, and pressure. And just me dictating the pace and just high-level mixed martial arts, high-level striking, and expect the best from me.
Good stuff. Can't wait. I always say, you know, enjoy the process, but more importantly, have fun on Saturday. It's about having fun. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong as well as Bucked Up Energy Drink. Thank you for your time. And let's go hit a real quick break. Coming to you live from the UFC Apex Center in Las Vegas. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Tap Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Rick Nash from the Columbus Blue Jackets, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back into you live from the UFC Apex. I've been saying the wrong thing. It's the UFC Apex.
Yes.
A couple questions. I wanted to ask you this because I'm kind of shockingly, I have haters. You're a fan of the Las Vegas Knights.
The Vegas Golden Knights, yes.
Yeah.
Las Vegas Knights. I don't know. I think the Las Vegas Knights is a cheerleading team.
Well, you're not a fan of that?
I'm a huge fan of that.
All right. So the hockey team that just won the Stanley Cup.
Sure.
All right. So let's just say for some weird reason, you move out of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you go to another town.
Yeah.
Would you stay a fan?
100%. I wouldn't see. This is the thing. That's why I'm not a Raiders fan. I've been a Broncos fan all my life since we spent a bit of time in Florida when we were kids, when we were like 7 or 8. We watched the Super Bowl, the early John Elway, very first times.
The elevator in the end zone. Spun around.
Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah. And my dad said, "Listen, pick a team. We're watching the team, and where we come from, like, you know, both of my soccer teams back at home." In Scotland, and when I moved to England, you know, I moved to Manchester. You don't change your team. Like, none of that nonsense goes on. So the idea that you bring something like the Raiders franchise from Oakland to Vegas, and that's amazing. The stadium's amazing, and good luck to them. And I'm positive about it being here. But people say, "Hey, you're going to be a Raiders fan now." It's like, well, no, it's just not what we do, you know. And I'm a Broncos fan, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I've been that way for 30 odd years, so it won't change.
And I agree with you
in the hockey.
And I agree with you. And you know, I was when the area got the Devil Rays, and then it became the Rays. I'm not a Rays fan. And they're like, "How can you live in Tampa Bay and not be there?"
Yeah, I mean, that's. But of course, a lot of it's about business here. There are certain franchises here that I would call, they are the real deal. Like, you'll never take the Cowboys out of Dallas. You'll never take the Giants out of New York, even though they play in Jersey.
Right.
But you know what I mean? There's certain places that, you know, that you'll never take the Packers out of, you know, away from Green Bay. But there are others that maybe Jacksonville might become something else at some point, or might be something else. And I feel sorry for the people that...
You know what the Jacksonville rumor is?
It was, well, I know there was a London rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going
to... I think it's going to happen.
They were going to partner with Tottenham Hotspur, which is a famous football team in London. They have the best stadium in Britain. And they were going to... I know that they were considering running the two, because the NFL is huge back home now. It's massive. So they can sell out 4 preseason games in seconds.
Right.
So they know that there's the market for it. But then I feel sorry for the people that would go and watch Jacksonville week in, week out and dedicate their time to it, because I don't think that's right.
Right.
So
the problem with moving over there is the travel. You know, when would the 49ers play, you know, the Jaguars in London?
Sure. But then remember, they are all flying privately with beds and you know, all of that. And they're only doing it for... you know, maybe once every now and then. So
I believe their comment is, "We're large people and it's uncomfortable."
Listen, as a large person, I know.
You get it.
And I travel a lot more than they do.
The other thing I want to ask you before we run out of time, we went to Dana White's Contender Series on Tuesday. Why do they need 2 or maybe even 3 timekeepers? They had a couple that were probably about 142 each. So combined, they probably have 250 years of experience. They alternated. Did they get tired doing the clappers? Or
very funny. I don't understand. It's one of those. It's one of those pointless things in sport where, it, you know, each separate round, a different person that's dressed like a football judge. I don't know why they're dressed like football judges,
right.
But they're
They just left the shoe store. They were working
the clackers. For anyone listening, we were literally sat behind these folks, and they were passing like, "Oh, it's round two now. It's your turn to do the 10-second clacker." And it really was like it was an energetic thing.
And the other thing, and I'm going to ask the commission when I get home to Florida, they were different. Like they started it at 12 seconds, so they ended at 10.
Yes.
And then the other one started at 10, so they ended at 8.
So, yeah, this is...
I'm going to ask the next time we're here, you know, some of the fighters, when you hear it, do you really think it's 10 seconds? Because it could be 10. It could be 12. It could be 8.
I know.
The other question that I want your opinion on, how come only winners take photos in the octagon, in the cage, in the ring? How come somebody that may never get back in the octagon, Dana White Contender Series, they may never get back there?
I get it.
Why wouldn't you take a picture just for,
I suppose at that point,
Christmas cards or
all
something?
Ego has gone at that point. I imagine if you lose, especially in something like the Contender Series, where, you know, these guys and girls are fighting literally for their lives, for their future, for their careers. I suppose it's the last thing you want is a camera pushed in your face when you've...
No, you're a camera. I'm saying you do.
Even still, I mean, I think, is it a memory that you want, that time that you failed? You know, at the time when you were really needed to succeed.
We probably don't have time, but in the next 30 seconds, A, thank you for coming out as always. I'm going to BattleBots tonight. Tell me 15 seconds about what I'm going to go see.
Oh, it's amazing. So my wife works with BattleBots, the Discovery Channel's live show here in Vegas. So if you've got kids or if you're young at heart, you have this big arena, these incredible like robots. Like I thought I'd hate it. I absolutely loved it. It's like 90 minutes of pure joy.
I'm going to check out before you punch him in the face. This is, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank the UFC for once again allowing us to broadcast from the UFC Apex. Until next week, this is and has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.